Okay, we ready?
Just about.
Let's go.
So this is episode 15. I've got a fan called Dave who follows me on the Bon Jovi Talk Twitter. Dave's been a fan for 33 years, he was saying, so around 86 was when he became a fan. I've interacted with Dave numerous times on the Bon Jovi Talk Twitter page, so I can gather just from that he is a big fan, and obviously I've had a little chat just before we went live. So Dave, I'll let you introduce yourself and then we'll get going with some questions.
Too kind. Thanks a lot, mate. Thank you very much for having me on. It's a pleasure to be here, and great to talk about the band. And it'll be, you know, good, bad, and indifferent. But as you say, 33 years since Slippery, since my cousin gave me the Slippery When Wet cassette, alongside, I think it was Def Leppard's Hysteria. So it was that kind of music. And at 13 years old, it has a big impact. So you think back to when you were 13 years old, the music you were listening to, it's like a formulative, is that a word?
I think so.
Yeah, it's kind of a word.
I'm Scouse, so I make my own words up.
Of your youth and you growing up. So yeah, the band had a massive impact. And yeah, at 46 years old now, the passion for the band is still there, slightly changing with the times, but certainly for earlier days of the band up to a certain point, which I'm sure we'll talk about across our chat. It's never been cool to listen to Bon Jovi, but for me, it's been 33 years.
So how did you get into the band? Obviously, you said that you got the Slippery cassette. Did that just instantly make you a fan, or did it take, you know, a few listens to get into it?
No, because at the time, before I got the cassette, Living on a Prayer was already out. So Prayer was already out and Bad Name. So the singles, I think, had already been released. I was aware of them. And a couple of mates were getting into them at school. And I'd never really listened to the earlier stuff, to Fahrenheit or to the first album. But Slippery really hit it home. It's just the rawness of it, of John's voice. The energy was incredible. And then you pick up do you remember VHS videos?
Yeah, I've got quite a few next to me, Ian, actually.
So if you get your VHS video cassette, you know, of the Slippery One Wet videos, which I kind of wore out, and still listening through the Slippery, and then New Jersey comes about, and then it kind of all went from there, but they still had that rawness and the energy of those days, yeah. And it just hooked in and it stayed there, even though Def Leppard and my local rock band, I'm only half an hour the other side of Sheffield from you, and you know, Poison and the rest of the bands at that time, Cinderella, that was kind of Whitesnake, you name it, that was sort of, I know that Poodlehead rock, I hate soft rock, whatever you want to call it, rock and roll, whatever it is, that was my thing. And basically Bon Jovi are the ones that stuck.
Yeah, I mean, it's a similar situation to myself. Like, my dad's always been into 70s, 80s, and that type of genre of music. And my brother was a massive fan growing up, well, when I was growing up, at Bon Jovi. And they were the only band that really stuck with me. Obviously, as I said on previous podcasts, my dad's a massive fan of David Bowie. And, you know, that's similar artists of that. But Bon Jovi's always stuck for me as well. And I don't know what it is, but ever since I first heard them, let's say, it's something instantly clicked, and I've never been able to put my finger on what it was exactly.
Me neither, but have you tried to explain it to somebody else, why you like them, to somebody who doesn't really follow their music?
No, well, yeah, but it never comes out how I want it to. I either big them up too much, or I try and play it cool, and I don't make them sound as good as they are.
And that's the secret, isn't it?
Yeah.
If it's the old adage, if you know, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the same for anybody following any band, whether you know, you're more into Guns N' Roses because they're heavier, or Crew, or anything like that. It's like, yeah, but they're proper rock and roll bands. They're dirty. Bon Jovi is too clean. He's a wannabe Springsteen. It's like, ah, flat. No. It's what you like. Mate, at that time I was still into Erasure and things like that as well, but the Bon Jovi thing just carried on and on and on. And then, you know, you go through school times and you go through Bad Medicine and Born to Be My Baby. And it just, everything carries on. It's such a cheesy cliche, but for 33 years, and I can feel myself cringing as I say it, it is a soundtrack to my life.
Yeah.
You can pick any point, whether it's joining the Royal Air Force, whether it's leaving, whether it's, you know, parts of your life where you've gone through and you think, yeah, there's a song that kind of matches up with that. And whether it was singles released, albums released, you know, live tracks, the whole thing has been there for the best part of 33 years, so much so that my 16-year-old daughter knows almost as many songs as I do.
Well, I suppose that's a good thing, as we were saying, you know, for 33 years they've been a part of your life for, I can't even say how many now, they're nearly 20 years for me, actually, nearly 20 years of being a fan for me. It's, as you said, that you've got a 16-year-old daughter who was into them, and my girlfriend was never really into them, but she didn't really know them before we got together, whereas she's now coming on the four shows with us in the summer. And it's interesting because we were saying, you know, times have changed with the band, but they actually are still relevant if you actually listen to them. You know, I was saying to somebody else on another podcast, you know, you mentioned Bon Jovi and they go, who are they? And then you'll mention Living on a Prayer, It's My Life, and they go, oh, I know. But they've never tried to listen to an album or anything other than that. And it's interesting because for me, if I like a song by a certain artist, I think, you know what, I'll listen to their next single. If I like that, I'll listen to the next album. And it doesn't seem to work with Bon Jovi in that way for some people, and I don't know why.
Because it's not cool.
Yeah.
It's never been cool to listen to Bon Jovi. And the guys listening to this, maybe they'll feel the same, maybe they won't, but listening to, you know, talking to the guys that I do, whether I play them at work or playing them in the car or wherever, when people ask, you know, who's your favourite band? These are my, they're, you know, it's not a boy band, they're a man band, yeah, as John once quoted. And Bon Jovi are defined by Living on a Prayer, Bad Name, It's My Life, and Always, probably those four.
Yeah, possibly.
You know, it's to the general listening public. But as you say, if you listen to Slippery When Wet and you listen to Wild in the Streets and Never Say Goodbye and I Die For You, Raise Your Hands, just the energy there is still today.
Mm.
At some point, possibly you're going to ask me to pick my five best songs.
Oh, yeah, that's down on the list. Don't worry.
That's down on the list. I thought it might be at the end of the show, you know, towards the end of the show. But I think somebody else said the same thing. It's depending on what you listen to, they can match any mood you want, whether you're feeling melancholy, whether you're feeling loved, whether you're feeling happy and energized. There are songs that match your mood across the range. Would you agree?
I definitely agree, and that's something I was going to touch on, actually, because for me, I find them, I mean I'm into some heavier bands than Bon Jovi, so for normal, but like for people who aren't really into rock, I could understand that they might not like the artist that I'm into apart from Bon Jovi. But I find Bon Jovi one of the easiest bands to listen to, and I could be biased, but as you said, you've got a mood for everything. You know, when I train in the gym, I always have a Bon Jovi song in my playlist, or you know, numerous Bon Jovi songs in my playlist, because they can get me up. If I'm feeling a little bit low, or, you know, I just kind of want to relax and chill out a bit, there's songs that I can listen to that make me relax. If it's a lovely day, I find the songs that relate to a nice day. If it's a cloudy day, like as you said, I don't understand why people find them quite hard to listen to, in my opinion anyway. And as you said, maybe it's because it's not cool to listen to Bon Jovi, but why do you think it's not cool to listen to them?
I think the stigma of the poodle haired rock of the 80s hasn't really left them. And I think, you know, potentially the same with Whitesnake and possibly Def Leppard as well. You know, that era was a particular defined time for music, and but it's soft rock, whichever way you want to look at it. And because of the media portrayal of them hasn't helped, you know, when, in mainstream media, when he's had, when he's had, when they came back with Keep the Faith and he had his hair cut and it was Bruce Springsteen's barbecue that made him do it. And it's, he's always been referred to, he's never been a media darling. He's always been referred to as poodle haired rocker. Do you know what I mean? And that, that kind of sticks with people. And, you know, they played on Top of the Pops, and the BBC of, and BBC Radio in particular have always kind of stood by them. But the mainstream tabloid media of newspapers that we won't mention, have, they've never been a blessed band in that respect. They've never had the coverage and the promotion that really that they deserve. It's always been more radio coverage for the UK and Kerrang and things like that. So it's just never been cool. There's always been something cooler to listen to, whether it was Nirvana or the Foo Fighters later on, you know, whether it's that kind of music that, that seemed to have overshadowed. You enjoy what you enjoy, and that's the beauty of choice.
I mean, I suppose if, for me, as I said, I got into the band just before Crush come out, so 2000, and of course, when I first, or from my earliest memories of seeing John, of course, he wasn't this poodle haired, you know, the boy, let's say, or young man. He was obviously much matured. He looked fantastic during the Crush era, I must say, but for me, I always thought he was quite cool. So as you said there, for you being a fan from 86, you've grew up with them, you know, with the long hair and then the cutting the hair and changing the sound slightly. Whereas for me, it's always been, I mean, as you know yourself, from Crush onwards, albums have kind of been similar, you know, the pop rock, let's say, and with the odd rock song in it. So for me, I've never really thought of it as, obviously I have as a fan, but I've never had to defend them as they're not this hair band, because I've never thought of them in that way, because I didn't grow up with them as a hair band, if that makes any sense.
No, of course it does. That's the generation difference.
Yeah.
Is that I'm, you know, talking to my mates at mid-40s. I mean, at school it wasn't an issue because they were popular. They were more relevant at that time, let's say. But as they've drifted since, from mainstream view, I mean, when Lost Highway came out, you know, it was never played on Chris Moyles on Radio 1 or anything. Once Radio 1 start to drop them and you move to Radio 2, that's when the age gap changes and they become less relevant to today. They're still relevant to us.
Yeah.
But relevant as today, when you've got younger bands coming through like DMAs and people like that, and new singers coming through, the kids are always going to move with the times, but hopefully there's still kids out there like mine that still love the music. It's trying to drill into them of storytellers. That's the secret that they don't really have much of today.
You were saying there that obviously when Radio 1 drop you and you go to Radio 2, obviously that shows like the age and the change in music. Do you think, as you like, from like Lost Highway, as you said, it's kind of they have always been on Radio 2. I remember even being in Bridges, you know, that We Don't Run, and Saturday Night Gamey Sunday Morning were on Radio 2, which was a bit of a shock because there was no promotion for that album. But do you think, when you're seeing obviously Lost Highway kind of coming in, do you think that was an opportunity for artists to go, for radio stations to go, right, that's it, they've gone, they've changed the sound, let's say, again, we'll move them to another station? Or do you think, as you said, it was just due to age rather than changing the sound?
The change of the sound, I think, was important, especially for the UK, because obviously stateside, country is huge.
Yeah.
Like, bigger than a lot of people realise over here. That's their mainstream thing. Obviously, you have rap music, hip-hop, everything else, which is a different generation, but the country music is enormous. For me, I absolutely adored Lost Highway. Do you know, I know some people love it, hate it, whatever, but, man, I adored it. And the same with Crush as well, who I know, but Adam isn't particularly... When you is it Adam from
Andy Northern Ireland? Andy, yeah.
Who's from Northern Ireland?
Oh, from Northern Ireland. Sorry, Adam. I know, yeah. Episode 3,
was particularly he was scathing about his hair, but he was also pretty scathing about Crush.
Yeah, he wasn't a fan of Crush at all, was he? Every song that he named, he was like, don't like, every single one.
For me, that was the last good fun album.
Yeah, I mean, I associate crush with the word fun. It's not necessarily my favorite album. It's probably not even in my top five, but I don't dislike it. I think I've just kind of, it was, as I said, it was the album that got me into them, really. It was the first full album that I listened to.
It's going to have a place there for you anyway.
Exactly. So when I listen to that, it does take me back to, as I said, you know, nearly 20 years ago now, which is quite frightening. But
tell me about it.
It's that for me, that's where it holds a place. And, you know, as I've mentioned before, my best mate's favourite album, who's a diehard fan, is Crush. So it obviously holds a place for everyone. I think obviously you've got with Crush, it's a fun album, as you said. It's not necessarily for me a great album. If that makes sense.
No, of course it does. Of course it does. And it's, you know, Captain Crash and Beauty Queen from Mars. You look at that and you go, what does that say? But when you know you listen, it's an upbeat. It's fun. It can listen, but live, brilliant.
Oh, it's really exactly
what it's for.
See, I've never got into Captain Crash live.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I did in 2000, 2001, when I just find it a little...
And it was relevant at that point.
Exactly.
When you were on the album,
yeah.
And, you know, we were at Gateshead in 2000. And it's there, and it lifts the crowd. And it's the same as Who Says You Can't Go Home. It kind of maybe goes on a little bit too long at the end.
Mm.
When it's live, but yeah, that album, I kind of played it to death, but that was, again, it's a marker in time, because it's cheesy as fuck. I got the girl. I did. My daughter was born in 2002.
Right, okay.
And that, when she was born, I played that track.
Yeah.
Coming back from the hospital. And it's cheap. That's how much the band means to me. Like we said before we came on, what do you want to talk about? What is there anything particular? It's not. It's just what the band means, and hopefully, you know, this will resonate with a few of the guys and girls that listen in, and they'll sit there and they'll go, "Fuck yeah, that's exactly." And this is why I do. And hopefully, it'll spur more people on to come on and chat with you.
Well, to be honest, that's kind of what like I originally done the podcast for. So again, you know, before we went on air, I was saying that. With doing both jobs just before Christmas, I didn't have time to sit down and plan what we were going to chat about, because my idea of doing the podcast was, did my favourite band, did the guest favourite band, let's talk about our favourite band. So for me, it was just, let's have a chat about them. But obviously, from feedback and other bits, you know, people say, oh, I wish you spoke a little bit more on this part of the podcast or this topic and so on. So I have started to plan it a little bit more, but for me,
yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I'll take it on board, and as I said, I've wrote a list down, but for me, my idea is, yeah, to chat about the band and just get your opinion on things and get my opinion on stuff.
Exactly, especially with different age ranges, and if people want to talk about certain things, come on.
Exactly.
Come on, talk about
it. I'd love, you know, that, like, as you were saying, you know, you messaged me before, and I'm saying, you know, I'm not quite the standard of who you've had on recently, but for me, I enjoy this just as much as I did with, you know, Kenny or Mark or Jake, because as I said, I'm talking for an hour or so about my favorite band, and that for me is a joy, to be honest with you, because how many people can say they can do that?
And this is the thing, and with the people around, like my mates who aren't particularly into them, this is a joy for me as well. I was talking to my girlfriend about it coming on. She said, that's fantastic. She said, you've got the passion for Bon Jovi as much as I have for motorcycle racing. That's my other podcast. Mm. And just to be able to sit there and talk about it, it's a fantastic outlet. It's a fantastic outlet. And here's a story for you. When the Young Guns 2 soundtrack came out. This is dedication. The Young Guns 2 soundtrack came out on the Friday, and the Friday afternoon, I was on a coach trip to Austria for a week in the summertime with an old workplace where I was on the old youth training scheme. That shows how far back it was. So that was what, 1990?
Yep.
It was, wasn't it? So yeah, 1990, August 1990, Young Guns soundtrack comes out on cassette. That's one of those little things where you put a pencil in it and a little bit of tape on it. And my Walkman. That was the only cassette I took for the 24-hour bus trip to Austria.
Wow. Wow.
I know every drum beat, every chord, every syllable of that album. And I just listened to it on repeat for the whole trip. What's your thoughts on that album?
But do you know what? I was literally just going to say exactly the same thing, because obviously last night, I mean, when this airs, it'll be different. But last night, obviously, I had Kenny on, and I was saying to you just before we went on air again that I felt like I spoke a bit too much about Young Guns 2, more than I should have, because for me, I mean, I love Destination Anyway for a totally different reason than I love Young Guns 2. Young Guns 2, and I was saying this to Kenny last night, actually, Young Guns 2 has got the power, it's got the grit, it's got the drums, it's got the guitar, it's got the piano, it's got, you know, like a choir on some songs, or, you know, like people in the background, whereas Destination Anywhere is a bit dark and quite moody. I say moody, but you get what
I mean.
It's got like, you know, like a dark vibe to it. It's a totally different album. And I was saying, you know, for me, Young Guns 2 is just an absolute masterpiece.
I couldn't agree more. Absolutely couldn't agree more. Again, like you say, listen to the whole album. A lot of people, Blaze of Glory, that's the only song they know.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, you had a little bit of cheese with Miracle, but that's still a really, really good song.
Oh, I love that, yeah.
Video as well.
I absolutely love Miracle.
Me too. But this is the thing.
Yeah, it's, but then, obviously, so you were a fan, obviously, from 86, as you said. So when you seen that John decided to go solo, what were your thoughts on that?
It was a break, wasn't it? And when you watch the Access All Areas video, which I so wish I still had, I used to watch that on an almost daily basis. It was part of the ritual for getting ready for school in the morning. There would be either the Slippery videos, it would be the New Jersey videos, where the band are introducing each individual New Jersey video, and the guy from Skid Row.
Oh, yeah.
He's on. What was it? Not Sebastian Bach?
Yeah.
So, and they go on about the lead singer being Rachel and all that kind of jazz. I can still remember now. But you look at the guys at the end of that video on Access All Areas, and they're so burnt out. And you think, do you know what? Maybe the break is right. And it was a long time. It felt, for me, like such a long time before Keep the Faith came out. The Blaze of Glory soundtrack was a great departure for John to exercise what he wanted to do. And Masterpiece is right. I mean, you just sit there and you listen to Bang a Drum and you listen to Santa Fe and Never Say Die. If you want waking up in the morning, Never Say Die is going to do it every single time for me.
Did you think that the band, when you heard that John was going solo, did you think that was the end of the band, or did you just think, no, it's a break and John's doing a, you know, his own little thing?
Yeah, but just that, because I was so immersed in the music and we were listening, still listening to Slippery, still listening to New Jersey, the band stayed relevant. And then when they came back with Keep the Faith and An Evening with Bon Jovi, the MTV show, it was still there for me. I was still looking at Kerrang thinking, when's the next album coming out? What are they doing? What are they doing? And then when the Keep the Faith videos came out and they said when they went down to St. Thomas and the band all got back together, and when kind of Bon Jovi management started forming and Doc McGee was left by the wayside in between times because he worked them hard.
Yeah.
You know, where they have electricity, we'll play. It was another one of John's quotes. And I think they worked so hard in the early days. We're seeing the issues of that now.
I think
doing 300 shows, yeah, you know, doing those long tours in the early days, nobody else toured like they did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why now we're kind of been robbed a little bit. But you listen to his voice on those early tracks and on Blaze of Glory and upwards, you know, when I saw them for the first time at Sheffield Arena in 93, was just goosebumps down the back. you know, you listen to the audio from those days and the notes that he can hold. And still, my ultimate favorite is when they go bad, when he goes bad medicine into shout.
Yeah.
Holding those notes and then going on. And the guy, I'll say it not in bold and in capital letters, the guy had an amazing voice. He just didn't know how to look after it.
Yeah. And as we know, that's kind of, you know, it's certainly taken its toll on him. And I suppose, I mean, we'll get to, because it seems like we're going kind of album to album, which is good. It's kind of got a bit of a flow, this podcast. So we'll speak about like the like, you know, the current tour and everything else in a few moments. But you said there that you went to see them in 1993. So describe your first experience of seeing the band.
We got to Sheffield Arena 6 hours before the gig started.
Wow.
The disappointing thing was is that the seats were in Rotherham. We were that far back in Sheffield Arena. But when the first beats kick in and then the fireworks went up for I Believe and then he came on stage and you're just like, fuck me, I'm actually here. And then they come on the big screens and just the whole atmosphere was incredible. I can't tell you who the support act were. Maybe, I can't remember, something to do with Beds and Roses. I can't remember. Some band that nobody was really that bothered about. Mm. Especially for me, because I was just like, let's get this shit started.
Yeah.
But I made up for it in September of the same year when we went to Milton Keynes Bowl with Little Angels, Manic Street Preachers, Billy Idol, and then Bon Jovi headlining when we were like three deep from the front. That was the pinnacle for me. I've never repeated that, never will do. But to be that close to the front for the whole gig without camera phones so you can be in the moment.
Yeah.
Which a lot of the times my girlfriend Jennifer gives me stick for these days when we're at motorcycle races or anything like that. Stop looking at it through your camera lens. Mm. Enjoy it. And you see that these days on the videos. Of live performances, everybody's watching it through the cameras.
Yeah.
And those days there were no video phones. We didn't have anything, you know, we were still texting back then. Even that was quite new.
Yeah.
So to just sit there and immerse yourself, or to stand there and immerse yourself in it after a fabulous day there and to see him on such form and for it to be on the radio as well so you could keep it for forever almost. And you can still picture it now, the energy, the vibe from the band, and just his voice. You know, you've listened to the audio from that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So when they come out and they sing Help, and you're like, what's going on? And then they go from I Can't Help Falling in Love with You into Better Roses.
Mm.
For myself, I know your allegiance is football wise, and congratulations for last night. mine are slightly lower. We're kind of third in the championship at the minute. I'm a Sheffield United fan.
Okay.
And one of the songs that we sing at Bramall Lane is I Can't Help Falling in Love with You. So when he started that, and we've been at the lane, and it's like the connections are always there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's another connection. Later on, when they played This Left Feels Right at Borgata, mm-hmm. in Atlantic City,
yeah,
they played Sylvia's Mother.
Yeah.
And years ago, my mum and dad split up, yada, yada, yada. But my dad was kind of into Dr. Hook, and that's one of the songs from me being really small that I remember.
Yeah.
And he plays that, and you're like, fuck. That takes me back to a different time, to quote a lyric.
Mm.
So the connections have always been there, and this is how I've grown with them, and the enthusiasm and the passion for the band is always there. Even today, when you come to the newer albums, I'm still the first 20 years. In my passion.
Yeah, I still get, you know, don't get me wrong, we all know, obviously, the music has, you know, the albums we're talking about, Slippery New Jersey.
Up to these days and up to Lost Highway.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's not the same quality now, but there's still, for me, no buzz either for a Bon Jovi show or for the day that they release an album. Because I'm still, as I said, growing up with my dad, who worked in numerous, you know, music shops in Liverpool and has always been into his music and used to go to record fairs. I'm still quite old school. I will still go into town and pick up the CD and take it home and put it in a CD player and have it blasting rather than download it on Spotify and listen to it in my headphones. I still I love the elements of having the album, you know, going there and seeing that it's on the shelf and going, oh my God, there's a new Bon Jovi album. Don't get me wrong, I still listen to snippets when they get put up on the internet and that. But
yeah, of course.
I never listen to a full album until I've got it in my hands and I can appreciate it with speakers. And I'm just sat there on my own for an hour or so and I just let I let no one interrupt me and I just play the album. That for me is still...
fabulous.
Yeah, like that. I'm still quite no one quite get again. It's something that, you know, I'm only 25. Well, I'm 26, but yeah, I'm 26. But a lot of people my age don't get that because they are so into downloaded and listen to it on Spotify. And even
it
people
is a streaming nature now,
yeah. Well, even people who are older than me who, you know, they still go, well, you go into town and buy an album. Well, I'm like, yeah. Don't get me wrong, I don't buy anyone else. It's only Bon Jovi. But that's because...
the inlay card and the lyrics, I missed that.
Yeah, like, you know, when I bought This House Is Not For Sale, I got that buzz. I really did, going into town and picking the album up and coming home and listening to it. I got that buzz just to... It brought it back again for me, and I'd done the same with Burning Bridges, and I'd done the same with What About Now, and every album, I'd say, probably from when I was old enough, Have a Nice Day, maybe Lost Highway, I've bought the album myself. I mean, I bought Bounce myself as well, and I was only 10 years of age, and I bought the box set on the day of release as well, so I was 11 years of age then, so it's always been in me to purchase every new Bon Jovi release, and I still am quite like that, to be honest with you.
I've gone the opposite way.
Have you, yeah?
Yeah, I've gone the opposite way. I have them saved on Spotify. I don't have the tangible the CDs anymore. I don't know why, just whether it's convenience or what, I don't know. Whether it's, this is where things change. This is where things change, and it's difficult to put my finger on why, where, or how. But this is the bit that I'm trying to explain in my own head at the same, because even now, I don't know why I'm a little more reticent with the later albums. There was so much hype for me for What About Now. I think this is going to be it. This is going to be the next one. I mean, the Circle was great. You know, there was some good tracks on that, but it didn't hit where it should have done. And then waiting for What About Now, and you think this is going to be the next one, and you're like, yeah, okay, it's nearly there. And they're not just quite hitting where I want them to hit.
Yeah, man. Again, man. Compared to yous, the opposite. Man, I love the Circle, and I did. I remember listening to it on a freezing cold November, coming home from sixth form and listening to it, and I instantly that album got me. I don't know what it was. What About Now? Never got me on the first listen. This House Is Not For Sale did, but a few tracks on Burning Bridges there. I mean, I think the good songs on Burning Bridges are the great songs. They're fantastic. But then it's got five or six fillers as well. But What About Now? Never done nothing for me, and still doesn't, to be honest with you. But The Circle, it hasn't lived up. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's still it's not as good as when I first listened to it. I can't really listen to five or six songs, actually, thinking about it. I can't listen to We Weren't Born to Follow as much anymore. When We Were Beautiful, I'm not a huge fan of. I can't even think what track three is, to be honest with you.
Like Work for the Working Man.
Oh, God. No, I can't. Yeah.
This is what I mean. So this is where the, it kind of maybe started a little bit to, you're like, right, hang on a minute. You're losing your audience, and that you're losing where you want to be. I always appreciate, you know, he's written for himself, but you've also got to write for your audience as well.
I mean, even though I don't really like them three songs, originally I loved them. And I think We Weren't Born to Fall. I was saying this on another podcast that I think the reason I don't like certain studio songs as much as I used to is because of how they get played live. So We Weren't Born to Follow live, just literally, like, I feel myself shutting down when it gets played. When we Work for the Working Man, I just hate the reason behind it. I just can't take to that. But then, you know, you've got Superman Tonight, Bullet, Thorn in My Side, and Live Before You Die, Broken Promise, and Love's the Only Rule. For me, they're pretty decent songs. And then you've got
Love's the Only Rule is a fantastic song.
Oh, God, yeah. That, I mean, Broken Promise Land and Love's the Only Rule are two of the best back-to-back songs on a Bon Jovi album for a long, long time, in my opinion. And then I absolutely always have Love Happy Now. And one thing that always got me was Learn to Love. I don't know what it was. As I said, I remember just listening to it for the first time and thinking, wow, like, because the album just finishes after it, that song, you know, with like the piano. And I just thought, I just thought, what a perfect way to finish an album.
It's a perfect outro, isn't it?
Yeah. And
in that sense.
Yeah. And I think little things like that, I mean, I've got no real connection with What About Now. So I think that's probably why I still really like The Circle, because I've got, similar to Crush, a connection with it.
Yeah. And that's what it's all about, connections. It's all about feelings. I mean, Superman Tonight holds a huge, huge, I can't think of the word I'm looking for. But it's for myself and for my girlfriend, that's a huge song for us. She'd never heard it before, and I played it to her in the car one day, and she was just like, what? Mm-hmm. And even now, it still brings back the emotions of that time.
Yeah.
And so everything is a connection. And as you say, later on, there isn't quite that connection. What about now? When you've got Westlife covering Daughtry.
Yeah.
Who sang What About Now, which is a far better song.
Yeah. Yeah.
When Chris Daughtry sang it.
Yeah, no, it is.
Who supported Bon Jovi on tour.
Yeah.
You're like, hang on, this is all a little bit, it felt contrived.
Yeah.
Why have you used that particular title? Why are you doing that? And then the one that really disappointed me was Amen.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a Primark Hallelujah.
Oh, it is. Why? Yeah, it's.
Why would you?
Take away the long notes. That song's a load of shit, in my opinion.
Yeah, he just wanted to write his own Hallelujah. Yeah. Stick to singing the Hallelujah one.
Yeah,
Bon Jovi stripped and storytelling. He just nails it.
But you know what? As well, like. One thing I've always wondered, but and don't get me wrong, I'd never want them to go down this route too much. But he plays so many cover songs. Would it hate to do a studio version of Hallelujah and have it as a bonus track?
No,
if that's what he was going for, if he was going, right, I love Hallelujah, the fans love me singing it, I know, I'll make one that sounds just like it. Well, no, rather than doing that, why don't you make an epic studio version?
You can use whatever you want to enhance it.
And
listen, live, it's incredible.
Exactly, and that would give him a purpose to sing it even more live, because it's been dropped ever since. I can't even remember last time.
You know, when did he? I think was it Hard Rock Calling?
I think
did he do Hallelujah and Always?
Yeah, I think so. I think
you're never going to see those two in the same song.
Oh, no.
Sure.
Yeah, no. But you know what? As you've just said that, what do you think of the set list for this tour? Have you been? I mean, obviously, they're on a break now, but was you following them before December?
Yeah, I was having a look at it, and the stuff that they're releasing, you're going to set me off now. What I'm seeing on YouTube And what I'm seeing, you know, you put something in the comments underneath it, and even though you're not being particularly scathing, exactly what you've had just recently on social media, you get it on YouTube as well. You cannot be, you cannot have an opinion.
Yeah.
Especially on his voice. And watching the tour, and some the set list is, for me, it's safe.
I was talking to a guy called Shane on the podcast, and he went to one of the first few shows that this house was not for sale when it got released. And he had 7 brand new songs in the set list. Now, if I looked at probably, I don't know, Sydney or the Tokyo shows, there's probably only 3 or 4. Now, I know that doesn't sound like a massive drop, but I find that's what happens every single tour, that they'll play 7 or 8 brand new songs. I think, in fact, they might have even had 8, but they'll play 7 or 8 new songs, and then they don't get the reaction that they want, and then they'll drop it. And you're
this
like,
is a lot.
Yeah, like, give it a chance. Don't drop it and bring back in We Weren't Born to Follow, or don't drop it and bring in something that nobody cares about. You know, if you're gonna drop it, at least, you know, make up for that, because we're seeing
put
them
something
on...
in that's gonna lift them.
Yeah,
there's nothing worse than turning up to a gig when you're dropping in new songs and you just stood there going, what's this?
Exactly. And
if you don't like it, there's nothing you can do about it because they're stood there playing it.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm always one for release the album, let people listen to the album, and then tour off the back of it so we can all sing along. We're all going to see those songs.
Yeah.
I've never been to a Bon Jovi gig wanting to hear new material. I want to hear the material I know. And I want to see it perform live, whether it's the most recent album or whether it's Runaway. To go and listen to new songs in the middle of a 15,000-seater, whether it's indoor, outdoor, whatever, you can't get the vibe for it. And on your first listen, you go, hang on, can you just play that again?
Mm.
You've got to listen to it for the first time, and your first reaction will always be the one that your first reaction is usually right. You only get one chance of it. Here you go. You only get one chance to make a first impression.
Yeah.
And if that first impression is negative, it's going to be really difficult to change that. So to play 6, 7, 8 new songs, you're not going to, you've almost a chance of killing the vibe.
And that, yeah, exactly. And I think the argument that we as Bon Jovi fans have is, yeah, okay, that's great. You're playing 7 or 8 new songs. Fair enough. But, as you just said there, it kind of ruins the flow. So why not play 4 new songs one night and then play another 4 new songs the next night if you're desperate to play 7 or 8? Yeah. Mix it up a bit. Because one thing that we would do is if we seen a set list, so keep this house not for sale in, for instance, you know, it was the tour opener, keep that in, and then add 3 new songs per night or whatever. If we looked at a set list and seen 3 brand new songs or 3 new songs getting played night in, night out, we would go, wow, fair enough, they actually are mixing it up. But talking to a lady on the podcast about this week, I haven't published it yet, but she was saying, you know, I haven't really followed the set list. And she was like, have you got rare songs? And I was like, well, the rarest songs we've got are I Got the Girl and Last Man Standing. And she couldn't believe that. And
when I saw them at the Etihad.
Yeah.
They played Diamond Ring.
Yeah, yeah, in 2008.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not really a crowd pleaser.
Yeah.
It's an album track. But, yeah, it's a tough one. I adore them and they frustrate me sometimes in equal measure.
That's the good thing about being a fan, because we're never, you know, and I'll use my argument with the footy again. Last night when I seen the first 11, I was like, what is Klopp doing? And you know,
all of a sudden you turn into an armchair.
Yeah, exactly, honestly. And you go, why is he playing Henderson? And you know, I won't go on about the footy, but for me, you know, obviously you kind of think, well, it's his decision. And it's similar with Bon Jovi, you know, their set list is Klopp starting 11, or you know, a manager starting 11, and he chooses it. He's doing it for whatever reason he thinks is right. So you know,
what does he say? He's the quarterback.
Exactly. And we're never going to be happy with what they get played, because for me, they could play the full These Days album, but I'd still want to hear Living on a Prayer.
Of course you would.
Do you know what I mean?
Exactly that.
Yeah. And I'll put my hands up. I'll probably never be satisfied. And as we were saying, you know, that can come across as, you know, and I put it in basically, you know, commas, but that can be negative. And it's not necessarily being negative. It's just, it's your opinion on something. You want this. I want it. You know, I want.
Yeah.
I want it.
How you feel. So you can't be wrong.
Yeah. I want to hear These Days. I want to hear Hey God. And
yeah,
if I don't see it on the set list, I'm like, why is he not playing that? But he's got his own reasons. And as we know, vocally, you know, whether it's musically, he just doesn't think he can keep up with it, or there's got to be reasons for it.
There has, and that's a whole conversation all on its own. So I'm gonna try and keep this as positive as I can, because I mean, people knocking on my door and things like that. You're just gonna get so much shit for it.
Yeah.
You know, you go back over the years and you look at what the guys have done. And, you know, being inducted into the Hall of Fame, it's about fucking time.
Yeah.
Let's be fair, you know.
Yeah.
Bon Jovi and Sambora are up there, maybe not, they're up there with Lennon and McCartney as successful songwriters.
Yeah.
You know, and for airplay and for singles sold and albums sold, there's been a massive shift in the dynamic, as we know, since Richie left. And the saga that goes along with that, for me, that's changed the whole dynamic. It's changed the music. It's changed John's outlook, the issues he had with the record company. And that comes across in the music a little too much these days.
Yeah.
It's gone away from the blue-collar working man. His music has changed with his age and his experiences, which is going to, because he's the songwriter.
Yeah.
You know, he's, and again, as I've just said, you know, it's how he feels at the time. And the story that he recounts about not, you know, his guitar giving him the finger for 2 years and not picking it up and not doing that, which was recounted so many times. This house is not for sale. I like it. I don't dislike it at all. I like it more than I like What About Now.
Yeah.
For many, many reasons. I don't think there's particularly strong tracks on it. The drum beat is almost formulaic across the two albums.
Yeah.
Over a number of songs, it's the same drum beat.
Yeah.
Now, whether that's, again, it's Tico's age. He's not going to be battering the crap out of him like he used to be able to. All the guys are getting older, and that's something that we have to appreciate. John is, I've never seen him so static on a show.
Yeah.
Compared, you know, he doesn't play the wings as much as he used to, and not really since he did his knee in 2013?
2011.
Yeah. 2011, when he did his knee, before the other Hyde Park show.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't have that range of movement that he had before, and it's such a fucking shame.
Yeah, and again, you know, we in terms of John not moving around, there's some shows, I mean, just before the Australia leg, he was really, really static on the Japan shows.
Yeah.
And then it got to Australia, and, you know, he's walking through the crowd. I've always said, you can kind of instantly, I mean, you're probably the same because you've been a fan for longer. You can instantly tell when John is up for the show.
Yes.
By literally just how he walks on stage. So for John to walk through the crowd, you instantly know, and he does all this shadow boxing and picks the mic up and is walking around, you know, telling them to get off the seat. You instantly know that John is in a good mood. If John walks from the back and instantly starts singing the song, you kind of go,
it's the job.
Yeah, he's in, you know, singing mode here. He's not in frontman mode. John in frontman mode, even still, in my opinion, and I love going to a live show, there is nobody like John Bon Jovi, even still, as a frontman when John is on form.
100%.
I love watching him. I mean, they put up the We Don't Run from one of the shows the other day, you know, like the pro shot. Yeah. And he was moving around, and you go, that's all it takes. You don't have to be bouncing up and down like he was in the 80s and 90s. We're not asking for that. You're nearly 60,
57 years old. You're going to struggle to do that.
Exactly. You know, he's, but, and obviously, as you said, you know, the injuries, but what I love is just seeing him move around and interact with the crowd. And I don't know, just as I said,
just energy.
Yeah, exactly. Well, once he's on form,
infectious.
Yeah.
You know, the little looks here and there, fair enough. You know, you're always going to get that, but just a little bit of movement to the side. I'm not asking him to do the catwalk. You know, lay your hands on me and do the catwalk and do all that. That I'm massively realistic. And it just, that energy is again, when I go back to Slippery and to New Jersey and upwards to Crush, and Lost Highway has a fabulous little energy about it. It's as time moves on, the energy seems a little bit less. Yes, he's 57 years old. He's no spring chicken, and it's gonna change. But that's, for me, that's an intrinsic part of the band that I love.
Yeah,
that's what's always been there. That's what's attracted me to them in the first place. For the guys coming in a little bit later and a lot later, this is what they're used to. I mean, later than yourself.
Yeah.
You know, this is what they see. The guys coming in at What About Now, that's their stage show. That's what they see. That's what they know. We know slightly different. And it's listening to Jake, what he said about the voice being a muscle and it needs looking after and it needs nurture. And, you know, that muscle at the minute is injured.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you're going to refer to it as a muscle and it needs, then if you're injured, if you're Jordan Henderson, if you're Virgil van Dijk, if you're Ollie Norwood, you don't play.
Exactly. Yeah. And what's scary, I find, is I was listening. I mean, I went to the Palladium show for the House and Office sale.
Oh, fabulous. Yeah.
And I enjoyed it because I just got a different vibe. And I've spoken about that before, so I won't go too much into it, but listening to that album back, and I still do, I must admit, I still listen to that show, but John sounded better vocally there than he does now, and it's quite worrying because from, you know, the December shows to Europe, he's going to have 5 or 6 months, let's say, rest, he's still doing the odd show here and there, but he's probably going to sound worse, which is...
And you know, I'm going to be massively honest with you. It's one of the reasons why I didn't get tickets.
Are you not going to this tour now?
No. And how bad is that for me? You know, that's me sticking by my principles. I can't do it. I can't pay 130 quid a ticket because I'm a seat snob as well. I ain't going. I've done my time at the back. You know, I'm not paying 40 quid just to go to Wembley and sit in the gods. So that's another reason as well.
Yeah.
The price of tickets, since they became Bon Jovi Inc., has rocketed. You know, I think I paid, and all right, it was 24 years ago, whatever it was. You know, we paid, I think, 60 quid a ticket for Milton Keynes Bowl.
Mm.
Yeah, I know time moves on, but £130 a ticket for reasonable seats. They're not even the best seats.
Yeah.
Because I want... The voice that I fell in love with isn't there.
Yeah.
And the showmanship, and yet great to see them in band, great to see them in concert, and just to be part of that crowd. I completely understand that, and I would never knock anybody for going at all. Everybody has a choice to make, and you'll have a brilliant night. I'm maybe a little bit too critical of the modern day band and the modern day Bon Jovi. We're going to my local auditorium in 3 or 4 weeks, and we're going to go and see the Bon Jovi Experience.
Mm.
I don't know if you've ever seen them.
I'm not a huge... you probably heard this on, I think it was episode 12, which I'll be publishing tonight, but I'm not a massive fan of them, to be honest with you.
Are you not?
No. For various reasons, to be honest. I won't go too much into it, but for various reasons.
Go for it. Go on, it's your show.
Just...
I'm intrigued, because I saw them before Christmas at Scunthorpe. and we had a fabulous night.
Yeah,
you take it at face value for what it is.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I mean, if somebody said is a ticket for them, go and see them, then I'd go along because it's somebody playing. It's no different to me talking about my favorite band. It's someone playing their music. I listen to a couple of tribute bands and I just find them a little bit flat for me. But as also the lead singer just irritates the life out of me. honestly, as I was saying that I was at a show in 2011, and I was in the standing area and in the gold circle. I was right at the front of the standing, and as I looked into the gold circle area, there's this fellow with beach blonde hair in a army type jacket, like, you know, the one that John wore in 2006.
So he went to the gig dressed like it?
Dressed as John with sunglasses on. It was fucking pissing down with rain, wearing sunglasses. Wow. And doing this cheesiest smile with the odd pout here and there for photos. And I just thought, oh, mate, what an absolute hit you look. And just from then on, honestly, I'd heard about them, and a couple of my mates aren't really into them. I don't know whether they've seen them, but they've kind of made their comments on them. But
yeah,
just seeing them like that, I was just thinking, mate, you are an absolute, just enjoy the show. I mean, don't get me wrong, I've got my own business, and he probably treats it as a business, and he's promoting himself because he was, as I said, he was getting photos, and I can't knock him for that, but... Oh, mate, just have a day off. do you know what I mean? I don't know.
It's different if he's living the dream on a daily basis and going to the gig like it. That's too much.
Yeah, that's too much. That it was just that for me. I was just thinking, you know, I mean, I wasn't at the time, but I work in a gym. I'm not going to go to, see Bon Jovi in bloody yoga pants or not on in June because... Work's work, and just enjoy it. I was a fair bit away from him, but I felt like saying, you know what, we just enjoy the show.
Yeah, you know, yeah, that's disappointing.
Literally, just take a day off, and I can't say, you know,
he is John Bon Jovi.
Yeah, and I just find it. We go and see a David Bowie one because my dad's a massive Bowie fan. I don't see him anymore, but I can't really take to tribute acts who try and be. Exactly like them. If that, I prefer, I just play the music and I'll be happy. But if you're pouting and, you know, if you've got your teeth, you know,
your veneers,
and you're smiling and, you know, turning away from the mic, just like John would, I just find it, I don't know, I find it a bit creepy.
I can understand exactly how you feel about that. I mean, we went and you're just watching it, and because, you know, some people go just for the music.
Yeah.
But when you're, if there's guys there that maybe aren't at our level, for want of a better word, and you know the live acts, you know what he's doing, you know what's coming next, and you're preempting what's coming, and he's doing it, and you're like,
yeah,
you've paid attention.
Yeah. Don't get me.
I'll tell you what's a massive pointer for knowing who knows when you know kind of thing. When anybody plays Raise Your Hands, you know what to do at the chorus.
Yeah, put your hand,
that's always, that's, but knowing to do it in time and when.
Yeah.
Before he does it, or, it's like, yeah.
Or keeping them up at the end and shaking them around. That's another one. But I don't get me wrong, as I said.
20 quid, it's a fun night out.
Exactly, and to be honest, as I said, if somebody said to me, listen, you know, because I followed them on Twitter, to be honest with you, and they are playing Liverpool, but I'm actually away when they're playing. But if somebody said to me, listen, do you fancy going, you know, because I'm not into, I don't drink or anything anyway. So if somebody said, you know, fancy just going down and listen to a bit of music, I'd go, yeah, go on, I'll pay 20 quid for that. I'm not, you know, when I say I dislike them, it's just, it's not my cup of tea. But
which is fair enough. That's how you feel.
But I'd still, as you said, if somebody, I wouldn't go out my way and buy a ticket, but if someone said, do you fancy doing it? Let's have a little, you know, a good night out, you know, there'd be no knobheads about or not, and then I'd go, fair enough, okay, let's try it. And as you said, I know it's same as you said for people going to see Bon Jovi. I don't knock anyone for going to see them, because I'm sure it is a fun night, and
it is if you take it at face value and you see him up there and it is cheesy,
yeah,
but it's a fun cheesy, and it if you take it with that view,
yeah.
I mean, myself, my girlfriend, and my daughter went to the one at Scunthorpe before Christmas. I'm like, do you know what? They're playing there. It's before Christmas. Let's just have a Friday night out.
Yeah.
And then they're playing my local town at the end of April. I thought, do you know what? For Mother's Day, my mum likes the music as well.
Yeah.
So all four of us are going. You know, and it's just a fun night out. And, yeah. My girlfriend, you know, she's 6 foot and, you know, legs forever. She had this little mini skirt on, and he spotted her on the end of the aisle. And every time he came to the right-hand side of the stage, he was singing to Jennifer. And I looked at my daughter, I said, I'm going to knock him out if he carries on with this.
But then,
he's full of himself. He loves himself.
Yeah,
He really believes he is John
Paul. Yeah, oh, yeah. As we know, Bon Jovi are in the studio again, and it looks like they've got every member of the band, they've got Hugh there and Phil X and obviously John Shanks. But it looks like that they're all there together for the first time in a long time. I mean, obviously I know that they come in and do the odd day here and there for previous albums, but I think this is the first time where we've seen them actually start off an album all together, because...
Well, didn't they do that for This House Is Not For Sale?
So they say, but...
So they say,
yeah.
Rather than recording some bits in LA and overproducing.
Yeah.
It was said, as you rightly point out, it was said that they all played the instruments at the same time in the studio, yeah. Which for me is how an album should be done.
But then...
You know, you all need to be there playing at the same time, and then you get... that feeling of the album being right and raw.
I hear it on a few songs, but then you only need to think that Phil was only on four of them. Whereas, as I said, he's kind of there from the start, it seems. And as I said, don't get me wrong, the band are there at the same time on a couple of days of the tour of the studio. But I think this is the first time they've started an album.
Yes,
all together. I think anyway, for us for a while.
Fabulous.
Which is, what's
your thoughts on having Shanks on board and Bobby Bandiera?
Right,
Bobby Bandiera previously. For me, they're a five piece.
Yeah, like I was never a massive fan of Bobby, and I'm not a massive fan of John Shanks.
His job for the boys is how I see it.
Yeah, I think he's John's safety blanket for whatever reason. I mean, I don't get why he's on the tour, because the reason for Bobby being on the tour was obviously because of the state that Richie was in. Phil X hasn't got that problem, so I don't know what the purpose of John Shanks is. But listen, I mean, don't get me wrong, he seems to be having live, I've not really had a problem with him, I must say. In the studio, that's where I have a problem with Shanks. Live, he seems to be doing his job, and I've not heard him play out a tune.
He's a professional at the end of the day.
And when I seen him at the Palladium, I'll be honest, I forgot he was even there, because I mean, you've got Phil shaking his head all over the place, and Shanks is kind of just a bit like Hugh, kind of just stays in the same spot and, you know, moves his shoulders a little bit. In terms of him being in the live setting, the one thing that got me was that the fact that he was up there on stage for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, why?
That was the one where I went, what the fuck is he doing there? That was the first moment that I actually said that, to be honest with you.
If you're going to bring it, because he started as producer, didn't he?
Yeah.
Back on Bounce. So that's 2000, if not before.
I think it was Have a Nice Day. I think, was it Luke Ebbin for Bounce?
Maybe so.
I think his first input was Have a Nice Day.
So, which is, what, 14 years?
14, yeah.
As producer?
Yeah.
So why not bring, if they're still, you know, why not bring, you know, if they were still here, obviously, then you would have Bruce Fairbairn up there, you would have Bob Mountain,
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I think, what it is? I think it's because... As I said, Phil only played four songs on the This House Is Not For Sale album. So who played the other? Obviously, John Shanks.
Yeah.
Bain and Bridges was all John Shanks. And I don't know whether that relationship from, let's say, Burning Bridges, where he's playing guitar on all the songs. I don't know whether that's just made him made John think, you know what, he's doing a decent enough job. Let's have him play more guitar on, because it's obvious that he's playing guitar,
not on the older stuff. Where
exactly, yeah.
He had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, and honestly, seeing Phil, obviously, when I seen him up there, I thought, well, yeah, he saved the band. Let's be honest, because
he was super sub, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, if you know, so I kind of got him being up there. Everett again, I didn't really get that. Hugh, 100%.
Without
100%.
Absolutely.
But yeah, seeing John Shanks just kind of, it did make me go, what are you doing up there? Why are you there? And do you know what? He was so far out with Phil X that, I mean, watching the show, you kind of don't even notice them. But when you do notice them, you just go, or notice him, I just go, what are you doing on stage? Why are you there? What purpose have you got? And as you said,
that's exactly my point. Why are you stood in Richie's spot?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Richie's the right-hand man.
Exactly.
You know, I appreciate why Phil X is on the left.
But then, also, when as I said, when I seen him in the Palladium, Phil X was on his right-hand side, I think. But he was for a good few shows on John's right-hand side. Certainly the Burning Bridges shows, anyway, when Matt Arie was playing and... So,
but that's where he should be.
Yeah,
he's taking Richie's place.
Exactly, you're the lead guitarist.
On the right hand side.
Yeah, you're lead guitarist. You're the, as you said, the super sub. You're replacing Richie. That's what you're there for. You know, you've subbed them, as you said. So,
you know, like for like, then you know, you're using the football analogies. If you're taking Robbie Fowler off and you're putting Michael Owen on,
yeah,
he's playing in the same place.
I'd love to have John Shanks on this podcast. Honestly, I'd love that. I'd love it.
He'd hang up on you.
Oh, we would. No, we would. Again, you know, as I've said, you know, Twitter's one thing. You get to know me a bit more through these podcasts. I'd just ask him what I feel. It wouldn't necessarily, again, to be negative. It would just be my opinion. Why do you have this type of sound? Why are you blah blah blah? I wouldn't necessarily do it to offend the guy, or I just...
No. But it's just being a pack. You could be the Paxman of the Bon Jovi fan.
Yeah, but he'd never go for it. So as we said at the start, I kind of do a top five, best and worst. So
you're pulling these tangents back in well,
Jeff. I go off. I can't help it. I'm like this with everything, honestly. I just ramble on. And I
do it on Motopod, mate. All of a sudden, you're 20 minutes into a conversation, you think, right, where were we?
But what's funny is when I listen to these back, I kind of go, fucking hell, do I sound like that? But I can't help it. It's just that, I get so into the discussion, honestly, that, yeah, anyway.
Unlike some of our American friends, I understand you perfectly.
Yeah, well, at least one person does, anyway. 15 podcasts in and only one person can understand me. Well,
and also, you will never like how you sound.
Exactly.
I don't.
Yeah.
I've done nearly 100 shows.
But then that's why.
Bike racing.
But then that's why a few people, like my best mate Kev, who you're on the Jovi Talk forum, Kev's the mod on there. He's my best mate, and he's umming and ahhing whether to come on because he doesn't like the sound of his voice. But no, so as you said, no one does.
Say what you've got to say.
Exactly. Yeah. You don't even have to listen to it back. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, what would you say your top five favourite Bon Jovi songs are?
Do you know what? I made the list. I kind of, to help you and to help me out as well, because I've listened to the previous shows. It's kind of like, yeah, I best make some notes on this. And it's like we said towards the beginning of the show, they're mood orientated. It can depend on the fucking weather.
Yeah.
You know, it can depend on so many things. I scribbled five down. Wanted.
Okay.
Has to be there.
Have you listened to the podcast with Andy?
Yeah, what a fabulous show. What a great guy.
Well, I'm not into Wanted That or Laugh.
I know you're not.
Well, it's again, sorry, that's wrong. It's not that I'm not into it. I just, it's not up there for me. I love the solo and I love the Million Faces line, to the point where one day I will get that tattooed on me. But yeah,
I do have the Superman tattoo on my left shoulder.
Do you? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's something about the ones that I don't know. I'm gonna really offend you here. I could listen to the This Left Feels Right version so much more.
That wasn't one of the worst songs on that album.
I'll give you that.
I have no issue with This Left Feels Right's Wanted.
I love the outro, like the beat. I just find it quite gritty.
I have no issue with it. So that's not offend me, mate. You're not offending
me. Yeah, I'm sure I will. I'm sure I'll get abuse later, so don't worry.
But when live, they kind of don't do it anymore.
Yeah.
They do it in the video, and they did it for the shows that I went to, especially in an arena when it's dark. And when he hits, I've Seen a Million Faces, and the lights come on.
Yes.
And I've dropped them on, you're like, fucking yes.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. That's what it's about. Is this passionate enough for you? Blood on Blood.
Okay. Yeah, good song.
Not particularly the acoustic version that's appeared on B-sides.
Yeah.
I'm talking with a lot of inflection today. But again, live... the album, that's one that really gets the day going. That is a real default go-to happy song.
Yeah.
For cheesiness and for raw Bon Jovi, there's some that don't like it, but I really like Good Guys Don't Always Wear White.
Oh, I loved it. Yeah, great song.
It's energy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the upbeat energy. Dry County, it's got to be in almost every fan's top five.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, that was... at Milton Keynes in 93, that was part of the break. It was part of when he went off on his Harley across America. And he said when he introed it, and he said, if you don't mind, I'll take you on the back of my bike.
Yeah.
And the footage came up at Milton Keynes, and then they played the song, and it's like, I could get goosebumps now just thinking about it.
Yeah.
And then from Lost Highway.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I really like Any Other Day.
Oh, yeah, no, 100%. Yeah.
You wonder where I was going with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I did, yeah. If you were going to say Seat Next to You or something like that, I was going to turn the podcast off. Any Other Day is fantastic.
That, Seat Next to You, that resonates for me when I lost my dad.
Ah, okay. It's similar because to Richie then. Mom.
You know, when not that she particularly knows the song, but you have visualizations in your head, and when you listen to it, for me, that's my mom, you know, saying to my dad, save me, because he was only 60 when he died.
Right, okay.
You know, so this is what I say about the soundtrack to my life.
Yeah.
There are certain songs that relate to certain things that maybe have no correlation whatsoever to the person thinking it.
Yeah.
But for me,
This
is my feeling for the band.
It is like,
so there's my five. Wanted, Blood on Blood, Good Guys, Dry County, and Any Other Day.
Well, Any Other Day, that's probably in my top five. I listened to Any Other Day before it got released on Lost Highway. I remember it got leaked. And yeah. I absolutely loved it. Me and my brother did. And then my brother went to see them at the O2 when they done, you know, the show.
Yeah.
When they opened the
O2. That was my last gig. And last time I saw them.
Well, that was my brother's, to be honest, as well. But I said to him, if they play Any Other Day, phone me. And he phoned me, and I will never forget it. Sitting on the stairs and hearing John shout, look who just got back. I will never, ever. I got goosebumps on the phone. Because obviously it was Richie's first show back from rehab.
Yeah.
And I will always get goosebumps watching that. I still go on YouTube and listen to it now because, it's just that's a fantastic song. Any Other Day.
I'm with you all the way.
Yeah, and fantastic song.
I can see that exactly what you're describing now.
Absolutely.
He said, look who just got back. And then you give him a hug and he said, welcome back, my brother.
Yeah, and it's good to see you. Yeah.
I watched one on YouTube the other day that somebody had uploaded from Japan in 08.
Okay, yeah.
And he didn't introduce Tico.
Yeah.
He doesn't always do the whole band.
Yeah.
But they were rich. It really struck a chord because if you have a look at it, it's Any Other Day, 08. And I can't remember who uploaded it. I should have made notes on that for you.
Is it the Tokyo show?
Yeah.
Is it a bit flat, the performance?
A little bit. Yeah. But the bit that really that made me smile was they're watching Lorenza up on the podium when he introduces to do her little segment. And John and Richie are just stood there. John's got his arm around Richie and he taps him on the chest as he do it. And they look so happy.
Yeah.
I know this sounds like shit, but they look so happy together.
Yeah.
You know, the bond was there and that's what it was all about for me. Losing Richie was a big loss.
Yeah, it was.
For the dynamic of the band.
Yeah.
And maybe that has an effect of how I feel on them these days. I'm not a big fan of John the CEO.
Yeah, yeah.
When he's going for the football games and you know, I want to be an NFL franchise owner. And you're like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Just play some fucking good music for me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well,
that's what I want.
You've said that you've listened to the podcast before.
Yeah.
I have to leave soon. So we'll do the snippet game if you fancy.
Go for it. If you have to leave early, it's not a problem.
I've wrote some songs.
Embarrass myself.
I've wrote, well, we'll get through the 20. I said to me, mum, I'd meet at about 12:30. So we'll try and
get on far longer than I anticipated. I didn't think I had a lot to say.
But it just happens, honestly. As I said, I can't help it. I can't help it. I was looking before, it was like half an hour, and I was going, wow, we're doing well here. And then
we're not doing bad, are we?
I may as well have threw me plan away because we've just, I can't help it. But yeah, so as you know, I play a second or two at most of, well, certainly now of the a certain song. I think Andy got 17. I want to say 17. It was either 16 or 17.
And then 14 is about average.
And then 14. And yeah.
This is where my connection drops out, mate. You realise that.
Well, as I said, with Andy, what I've done before was I wrote songs down and I went to a certain point of the song. So it won't say, you know, any other day as if you're trying to guess any other day. Do you know what I mean?
Did you watch Phoenix Nights?
Yeah, yeah.
I want the name of the song and not the artist.
Exactly.
Young. Yeah.
That's exactly what it's like, honey. What I'll do is obviously let me know if it sounds too loud as well or distorted, because that's what I've had a couple of times. People say, oh, I couldn't really make it out because it was too loud. So
I'm lucky I've got headphones on.
Okay. But just let us know anyway. This is the first one, okay?
Yeah, let's go ahead. Embarrass me. Go. Wow, that doesn't automatically come to mind particularly quickly.
I can play another snippet, so I've wrote down two snippets. If you want a different part,
yeah,
of the song.
Let's try a different one, mate, because that wasn't automatically recognizable. Ah, that's an early one, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's an early one, and it's pre-Slippery, and I'm shit at pre-Slippery. You can tell by his voice. I don't know, mate. I'm terrible pre-Slippery.
That was Love Lies.
Ah, man. Okay.
Okay, second one. Let me just get on to the part that I need to. Okay. Okay, here we go.
Rich man living in a poor man's house.
Well done. Okay, track number three. So that's one out of two.
One out of two so far.
Okay.
50%, I'll take
50%, that. 50%, yeah. Let's see. Oh, gone on the wrong song.
Ooh.
Okay. This is your third one, okay?
Yep. Oh, man. Is that off These Days?
Yeah.
It plays a little bit more, mate, would you please?
Okay, I'll go to the next snippet.
Yeah. Is my guitar like
yes,
in my arm?
Yes, well done. Correct. Okay, track number four. Okay.
Wow. Yeah, a little bit more, please.
Okay. Go further up. Yeah.
Diamond Ring.
Yeah, correct. So that's 3 out of 4. Okay. Interesting one, this one. Okay. 49.
That's Dead or Alive.
It is, but what Dead or Alive is it?
Climb a little bit more.
Okay.
Please. What? Is this like some Prodigy Mega Mix?
No. No.
God bless Keith Flint. Nah, it's Wanted Dead or Alive, but it's not the, that's not the left field right version, is it?
It is.
Okay.
I love that version. Absolutely love it.
So I get that as a tick then?
Yeah, you get that as a tick. Oh, you got it. I was going to give you the it was Wanted Dead or Alive. I just wanted to see what version you knew it was. I was going to give you the tick anyway. You said the right song, so okay. Track what one are we on here? Track 6.
6, yeah. Ask me how it comes. Every time I look at you, baby, I see something new. what's the title of it? I'm all about loving you.
Yes, well done.
Could you hear me going? Yeah.
It's annoying when you know the song, as I said, when you know the lyrics, but you can't think of the song, the actual title.
I guarantee you, everybody that plays this game will pull the same face.
Yeah.
Oh, I know it.
Okay, track number 7.
Yep. I got the girl.
Yes, well done. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 out of 7.
Mm. Pressure's on.
You're on good form here. This one might blow your mind a bit.
Yeah, I'm gonna need a bit more of that.
Okay, next snippet.
Nah.
No?
No.
Burn and Bridges.
Okay. I've never really listened to that album in too often. I don't know why. I got Saturday night, Sunday morning. I didn't take to that album.
Really?
Too much, maybe because it wasn't particularly promoted. And
yeah.
It was like an afterthought.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you got me on that one, mate.
next one.
And it's sure to pass you by. Fancy cars and diamond rings, all the things that my money brings, and the servants to paint the skies blue. A little bit more.
Okay, so I'll go right to this part.
I'm going to kick myself.
You'll know it. You'll know it. Just have a little think.
I do know it. I do, but I can't. I can hear the timer ticking down. I can hear the timer ticking down. Fucking hell. Nah.
No?
No.
It was I Want You.
I Want You. Of course it was.
Okay. Next one. To this.
What a dick. Oh. if you're tall, dark, skinny, or handsome, you walk tall, or something like that. A little bit more.
Okay, next one.
Yeah, cheers. that's early.
Yep.
It's not Tokyo Road.
No, it's not that early.
No, go on.
Social disease.
Social disease, of course it is.
Okay, next one.
I'm not starting to get embarrassed now.
I've got a feeling you might know this one.
This is 11, yeah?
I think so, yeah.
That is next to you, is it not?
It is. That's it. We spoke about I Got the Girl, we spoke about Diamond Ring, and we spoke about Seat Next to You, and they've all bloody come up in the first 10.
I did notice that. That's good. That helped. That saved my embarrassment a little bit.
Next one. So if I go... Okay. And then... Okay.
God bless his mouth.
Yes, correct. Okay, next one. Have a nice... Oh, nearly gave it away. Oh, my God.
I'm going to take a wild stab in the dark.
Oh, my God. I can't believe I've just done that. Okay. Okay.
Go. Plays a bit more.
Okay. Please.
Complicated?
Yes, well done. Okay, next one. Okay.
Yep. Living in Sin.
Yeah, well done. Okay, next one. On a bit of a roll here, getting them quite quick. Okay, next one.
When We Were Beautiful.
Correct, well done. Wow. Okay, next one. There we go.
A little bit more, Jake, please.
Okay, further up.
Nah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I can't get it.
You're gonna kick yourself. Amen.
That's probably why. Really, I think I've listened to it twice. That's another one we spoke about.
That is another one, yeah.
17?
Yes, 17 now. You have got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 so far.
I'm happy with that. That's all right.
Okay, next one.
That's Blood on Blood.
Yep, well done. Another one we spoke about. We haven't planned this for those listening, by the way.
Definitely. If we had, I wouldn't have got any wrong.
This might be a bit tricky.
I swear I'll show you first. Story of My Life.
Yes, well done. OK, Okay, next one. Two to go.
No. Go on a little bit more. Another one. This one might be a struggle. There was nothing ever goodbye. No. Yeah, you got me on that one.
Silent Night.
Okay. Wow. Yeah.
Okay, your last one.
Yep.
Got to finish on a good one.
I'd die for you.
Yes, well done.
14 was my target. Brilliant.
Is that what you got? 14. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 8, 14. Yeah. 14 out of 20. Seems to be like the average start, doesn't it? 14.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't want to embarrass myself, so I'm really happy. I can stop sweating now.
When you got the first one wrong, I was thinking, oh. And then you got like five on the bounce, so I was like, oh, he's going to beat it.
That wasn't too bad.
As I've said to everyone else, it's harder than it seems. Because, as you said, you know the lyrics, you know the... But you just can't get the title. Your mind goes blank.
And, you know, we've only got so much time to do it.
Yeah.
That's a tricky one.
It's hard.
Anyway, one last story before you go.
Yeah, go on, mate.
We went to New York in the summer. And obviously that's the centre of John and the band's universe. And we stayed out on 10th Avenue.
Oh, yeah.
At a hotel called the Skyline Hotel. Opened the curtains when we got into the hotel room and I thought, hang on, I've seen that view before. And it's literally of the center, you know, you're looking sort of 6th, 7th Avenue, Times Square, 8th Avenue, Rockefeller, and all the buildings down that central strip of Manhattan. And I'm like, well, this looks really familiar. And it wasn't until we got home that I was watching the We Weren't Born to Follow video.
Ah.
It was filmed two blocks down on the same avenue of where we were staying.
Oh, wow.
It was on where the record company, they played on the roof of a record company that aren't there anymore.
Yeah.
It was literally two streets down from where we were staying. And I just could not understand where I'd seen it before. And then when we got home and I was watching a couple of videos back and I messaged my daughter who I'd taken there for a long weekend. And she was like, oh my God. And this is like the weird, this is what I mean about connections.
Just before you go, that's one thing I've always wanted to know. In America, is there much Bon Jovi like merchandise or memorabilia or anything?
Not a huge amount, no. It's things that I know, like when you go past Madison Square Garden and Columbus Circle.
Yeah.
Who says you can't go home? Welcome to wherever you are.
Yeah.
The Columbus Circle and Brooklyn Bridge and places like it's the landmarks from the videos that you remember.
Yeah, yeah.
But there is no, we did the main touristy bit, so there wasn't a great deal. If we'd gone to the record shops and that kind of thing, then yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
There would have been a fair amount. And, yeah. You know, we looked across to Jersey and yeah, it feeling that connection of places that he'd been and places they played and, you know, Rockefeller Plaza and Times Square.
Yeah.
It was nice. That was the final piece of the jigsaw that we'd actually been to New York and I'd seen across the water to New Jersey and
yeah.
And that kind of thing. So
listen, thanks very much for
pleasure, for mate. Thanks for having me on. And thanks for letting me just waffle on.
Well, I'm sure that again, you know, it's an hour and a half this one, but there's still so much you could fit in. So it'd be good to have you on again. At another time, to be honest with you, because with how much material and live shows and everything, you know, as you said, you've been a fan for over 30 years. There's so much to talk about, and with the European tour coming up, and obviously the new album. Pending,
plenty to go on. Pending, anytime you want me back on, not a problem at all. If you're bored and you've run out of guests, then yeah, sure, I'll come back.
Perfect. I appreciate that. I'll as I said, I've got a couple to put out. In the next week or two, but yours is obviously I go in order of like 13, 14, 15. So yours I presume will be out sometime next week if that's okay.
As and when, mate, whenever's best for you, it's not a problem.
I appreciate it. Thanks again for coming on, Dave.
Oh yeah, you take care, mate. I'll speak to you soon.
See you later. Bye.